the weekly podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
Morning, church. So, as we get ready, I want to call your attention to a couple of the announcements. First of all, if you've noticed, there's a big tree behind us. We have dress rehearsal tonight and then again Thursday night. So if you have a part in the program, if you have a spot in that tree that has your name on it, be here tonight, 7 o'clock, ready to go, ready to sing. And if you're in the drama section or if you're doing one of the solos, I believe we're having the entire group out for the dress rehearsal tonight. So be here ready to go at 7. Also, if you don't normally attend Sunday school hour next week, make a plan on staying because that's when the youth are going to come up and do their Christmas program. It is always a lot of fun. It's good to see them out there, and they'll have a good time. Also, today, right after service or second service, so we'll come back. Will be a board meeting. One of the topics on the board meeting, I know I have to bring it up, is the budget. So we'll be reviewing the 2023 budget and amongst other things in the board meeting following second service. So there's a lot more in here. I didn't hit everything. We do know about the dress rehearsals, but we also know about the programs, right? It's on the 18th and the 21st. You have one of those dates circled for your family to come, if not both. Take a look at the prayer lists. In addition to that, please add Bill Smiley. Bill Smiley had to go by ambulance to the hospital this morning. His blood sugar was exceeding 500, and he was having some severe swelling in his right leg, which he's never had problems with his right leg before. So keep Bill in your prayers as well as everybody in the prayer list. And let's take a moment and go to God in silent prayer. Amen. Jonathan, did you want to run that demo? So if you really hadn't been sold already on coming out to see the tree, you know we have new lights. So Jonathan's going to run a couple, I think it's, you said it's about 8 seconds of a demo of the Christmas tree. If you're on Facebook, you already saw this one, but he's going to run that through so that you can take a look and see what the tree is going to look like with the new lights. So, anybody that was on the fence, I hope that, you know, it's pushing you towards coming now. So, Bob's on vacation this week. Ryan's holding down the fort. And we are going to get started here. Do you remember back in, and this does not apply to those of you, the younger, that use the cell phones all the time. But do you remember back in middle school or high school, when communication could be done by the passing of a note? You could just fold it up, put your intended recipient's name on the outside, and use it to tap the person next to you so it would make its way over to whom it was addressed. You know, it's possible that that information contained in that note just couldn't wait for the bell, or the question on the note needed to be asked right now, or maybe the class was just a little bit too boring and you were just passing time. Maybe the recipient was one of your friends, or possibly that cute member of the opposite sex. But besides, what's the worst thing that could happen? Yeah, it could get intercepted by the teacher and read aloud in front of the class. Now, my friends and I came up with a way to protect that valuable information and that message's integrity. That's right, we learned early on how to encrypt the message. What would look like just a bunch of letters to anybody else could easily be decrypted by any member of our friend group into the intended message. And I'm sure any one of the group of us could still decrypt one of those messages today. As it turned out, you know, we rarely, if ever, had an occasion where our message couldn't just wait for the bell or the time between classes or just at lunch. But high schoolers are not the only one that are worried about their message being intercepted. When the Apostle John penned his book of Revelation, he was concerned that the Roman government would not take kindly to what he was told to say. And if his message was clear, it would never have reached the churches of Asia Minor. Although not quite as fancy as our ninth grade encryption, John wrote in apocalyptic language that allowed the message to get past, but still be comprehended by the intended audience. But this is not a message about revelation. This is a Christmas message. And the Christmas message, or the message of the first Christmas, were delivered directly to the intended recipients. Now, today we have many more options when it comes to messaging. We have text messages, Facebook Messenger, we have WhatsApp, and we have Signal, just to name a few. And we should all know by now that the text messaging and Facebook Messenger are not encrypted, and the teacher reads them aloud directly to the advertising companies. But this isn't a message about technology either. It's a Christmas message. And the Christmas message should be read loud, clear, and often. So God has many messaging tools available to him. And as well, while we study about the birth of Christ, we can take a look at three of them today. So the first one we're going to talk about, I call dream mail. Now, at my job, I get about 1,500 emails a day. Not kidding. I consider part of my job to be filtering between the majority of them that have little or no meaning and the small minority of them that need to be addressed and responded to. I know the one from my boss or one from his boss usually have some value, and I always read those first. The same could be said for dreams. Most of the time, dreams are just the brain getting some midnight exercise. But sometimes the subconscious gives us an uneasy feeling that we've forgotten something important. And it gives us the nudge we need to remember, or even the answer of that off-the-wall question that we had earlier in the day. That's right, it was Journey that sang that song. During the time of Jesus' birth, God used dreams to convey very important messages. In two of the cases that we're going to look at, the dream was used to change the mind of the dreamer. And when you get a dream mail from God, unlike the majority of my work email, you don't ignore it. Our first dream we're going to look at was to Joseph, Jesus' earthly father. And this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Joseph's mind needed to be changed. Mary was pregnant. He knew the baby wasn't his. A quiet divorce, they could go their separate ways, but God saw the bigger picture. He had information that Joseph needed to know. God knew that Jesus would need a father on earth to raise him, to teach him carpentry skills, and to protect him, and that Mary would need a husband. And the dream Joseph had let him know that it would be all right. Now, Joseph wasn't the only one to receive vital information in a dream. So the Magi, the wise men that came from the east, who sought to bring gifts to Jesus and worship the newborn king, also had a dream. It seemed that King Herod was interested in worshiping the babe as well. If we see from Matthew 2:8, Oh, I missed one in the Joseph dream. We're just going to jump past that one, though, because you all know this one, right? Herod had talked to the Magi. He said to them, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Well, we all have the hindsight of knowing that that was not the case, and that was a big lie. So King Herod had no interest in worshiping Jesus. This king would not be usurped by a baby. The earthly danger for baby Jesus was very real. So God saw through Herod's lie where the Magi may or may have not. To ensure that King Herod would not find Jesus, God sent another important dream mail over to the Magi. In Matthew 2:12, we see, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Similar to Joseph's dream, the Magi needed a push to change their mind. Rather than go back to Herod and report where Jesus could be found, the Magi needed a new direction. In their case, a literal new direction home. The Magi never went back to Herod. But not having the exact location of the newborn king delivered to his doorstep did not deter Herod. Herod would just need to cast a wider net. And to save his kingdom, he would do some awful things. What Herod had planned required that Jesus be moved out of Bethlehem and moved right now. So again, with the dream mill, God sends a second dream to Joseph. And when they had gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and try to kill him." When the message in Joseph's second dream begins with "get up," it shows me a sense of urgency. It's not when you feel like it, when you get around to it, when you're ready, when you have all your bags packed, when you've said farewell to all your friends. It's get up now and get to Egypt. And that's exactly what Joseph did. In Matthew 2:14, "So he got up, he took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt." In addition to that, God let Joseph know that he wouldn't be staying there forever. But rather, God would let him know when it was safe to return. Safe in Egypt, Jesus avoided the rage of Herod, who had all the boys in Bethlehem, 2 years and under, killed. When it was time, the third dream mail over to Joseph. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother. Go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So our second service we're going to look at is messenger service. You know, sometimes we know that a phone call won't do. Sometimes an email's not the answer. Sometimes the message needs to be delivered in person. Now, here in East Palestine, I don't think a bike messenger like that, it's not going to get a whole lot of work. But in New York City, there's said to be about 5,000 people who earn their living day by day being bike messengers. Our Heavenly Father has his own squad of messengers, and those are the angels. During the time of the birth of Jesus, God sent messengers to deliver some of his most important messages. Starting off with Zechariah, even preceding the birth of Jesus, as Zechariah was performing his duties in the temple, Gabriel, an angel of the Lord, appeared to him to let him know that he would have a child even in his old age. And even though he and his wife Elizabeth were beyond those childbearing years, his child would be John the Baptist and would bring many back to God and go ahead of the Lord. The angel Gabriel also visited Mary. And we see in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled by his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." So Gabriel visiting Mary to announce her pregnancy to the Son of God. A dream might not have cut it in this case. She may have dismissed it like that one we all have where we're flying around or we're terribly underdressed in public. The message of Mary's pregnancy was very important for her to receive. Can you imagine if that message was not delivered? The confusion that Mary would have been through? She was a virgin, engaged to Joseph the carpenter. If she were to find herself pregnant without the message, then what? Again, the angels also delivered a message to the shepherds. And there were shepherds living out on the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The story of the shepherds watching their sheep and being the first to hear the good news of great joy is the subject of many Christmas songs. It's an image that appears on many Christmas cards, and it's a beautiful image of the angel coming down to share their joy with mankind. But just like with Mary, the messenger needed to begin with, "Do not be afraid." I personally think it would be awesome to receive a message directly from an angel, but I'm also fairly sure that the sight of an angel would terrify me just as it did the shepherds. The message of the shepherds gave them a specific task. Go see the fulfillment of the prophecies for yourself. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all those who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The message of the birth of Jesus was not only delivered by the angels, but once the shepherds heard from the angels and visited the newborn king, they too became messengers. In Matthew 2, 17 and 18, we just read, everyone was amazed to hear about the angels coming and telling them, and then turning around and finding the baby just as they were told. They couldn't keep the story of this first Christmas to themselves, and neither should we. The third message delivery system would be the written word. While the messages delivered by dream or by the messengers were given to specific people, the message method that God uses for the many is his written word. And that overarching message of the Old Testament is that a Savior is coming. The prophecies begin in Genesis. They run through Malachi. They tell of a Savior, a king that would be coming, a king who would reign, whose reign would never end. And for centuries, the Jews awaited this king. The written message continues in the New Testament, giving us the story of the prophecy fulfilled, the King of Kings born into this world to save the world. The written message teaches us the path to follow. The written message teaches us the path to salvation and eternal life with the Father. So, now let's talk about putting it in action. The message of Christmas, the true message of Christmas, is so very important to share. If we don't share the true meaning of Christmas, the world will continue to dilute it down to a shopping event that starts while mom is still putting away the Thanksgiving leftovers. The retailers will be happy to lump it in as just part of the holidays, as long as you go out and spend, spend, spend. For the message of Christmas to be shared, the message of Messiah's birth, the message of prophecy fulfilled, the message of Emmanuel, God with us, for this message to be shared, it needs to be shared from the church. And you and I, we're the church. So we need to get on it. If we consider the tools that God used when sharing the announcement of his son's birth, I think we can utilize some of the same methods when we share the Christmas story. Now, we mentioned dreams, and some of you might think of yourself as quite dreamy, or you might even dream of a white Christmas. But if we look back at the recipients of the dreams, we see that they were intended for the recipients alone. Joseph's first dream ensures that Jesus had an earthly father to raise him, to teach him carpentry, and to protect him. The dreams of the Magi and Joseph's other dreams were to protect baby Jesus from earthly enemies. Now, I think that as he sits at the right-hand side of God, the Father, Jesus can handle any earthly enemies. So you and I can take a pass on trying to send dream mail. We mentioned the messenger service. With news this good, we can and should share it person to person because we are the messengers. We've been commissioned and commanded to take up that role in Matthew 28, 19, and 20. Therefore, go make disciples out of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Like the angels visited Mary and Zechariah, we can make those visits to our shut-ins, the ones who might be lonelier this season, and we can share with them or remind them of the Christmas story. The Christmas season may provide that opening that you've been looking for to talk to friends or family, or even that person ringing up your gift purchase at the store. You can share the story of the baby in the manger, and you can connect the dots and share that that baby grows to be the man on the cross who dies for our sins. The Christmas season provides us a great opportunity to invite people to one of our special services. We have this Living Christmas Tree service, if you hadn't noticed. We have a Christmas Eve candlelight service. And this year, Christmas Day falls on a Sunday. You can invite them to worship that day. So let's go out and tell it on that mountain. We mentioned the written word. And yes, the authors of the Bible had the overwhelming advantage of being guided in their message by the Holy Spirit. Having the Holy Spirit as a co-author can be a great boost to your message. We who have been baptized into Christ have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And if we calm ourselves, and if we listen to how the Spirit guides us, we can find those right words to share. We can send notes to our servicemen and women, encouraging them while they're away. We can send Christmas cards that include the message of the birth of Christ. So in summary, God used many means to be sure that the message of the birth of his son Jesus would be heard and spread. He used dreams to influence Joseph and the Magi. He used the angels to inform and direct Zechariah and Mary and the shepherds. And he continues to use his written word to share the good news with everyone. That Old Testament is the foretelling of the coming of Christ. The New Testament is like this note passed in the classroom. When we're baptized, we check the yes box. We choose to accept the message of the Bible and the love of God. And if you haven't yet checked the yes, there's no time like the present. And in this case, we don't have to worry about the teacher intercepting the note. He already knows you have it. And he's greatly anticipating your answer. At this point, we're going to go ahead and sing an invitation song. And if today is the day that you need to make that decision, yes, the baptistry is ready. No, everybody can't see you because of the tree. We can schedule it for after service. A few people can get around back there and see. Or at some point this week. But if today's your day, it's no day like the present.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to join us in person, we meet on Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m. and on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Have a great week.